So we filed this, I think, 3 or 4 days ago. In our October 3rd, 2025, opposition to defendant's pending motion to dismiss, and for the sole purpose of causing harm to defendant Stephen K. Bonnell II, plaintiff falsely asserted that he exchanged sexually explicit material with a minor. Specifically, plaintiff claimed to have identified Rose as censored name. Some of this has to be redacted because some of this is under seal. The purported recipient of the video, Bonnell, allegedly transmitted in April of 2022. Based on plaintiff's purported investigation, she alleged that Miss Blank was a minor at the time. She supposedly received the video and falsely concluded that Bonnell had exchanged sexually explicit material with someone who was under the age of 18. So if you weren't following this, they basically decided to try to stick in a footnote in one of the filings. We hired a private investigator. That was a lie. They lie on everything, I guess, because it's okay. They just went by what was posted on Kiwi Farms. They lied and said they a private investigator, and then they said that and they decided to put in a footnote, this girl was a minor, which has no bearing on our case whatsoever. They're just using whatever filing they can to try to attack me. Not only is plaintiff's allegation knowingly and demonstrably false, but also the age of the purported recipient of the video is irrelevant to plaintiff's claims and has no bearing whatsoever on whether this court has subject matter jurisdiction here. So they managed to, well, not they, but somebody in Gistical's Discord server threatened the victim and her family across multiple email accounts. All of Gistical's Discord server knows this, so they laugh about it. I think I've shown pictures of that. It's the Saba sexual dude, but basically harassed them and threatened the family until they contacted Joan Peters in order to sit for a deposition. Unfortunately, that deposition was a fucking train wreck for the subhuman filth pixie and her counsel. And what we find out during the deposition is that this person never was in charge of any of the accounts that they'd ever been posted publicly online. So the Twitter account, any Cash App account, the Discord account that apparently I was talking to for 2 or 3 years was actually ran by another guy who you should be able to understand how unbelievably fucked everything is related to this other dude. So that comes out in the deposition. I think about halfway through the deposition, Pixie and Joan basically just start accusing the girl of lying because that's all they can do at this point, because now they've lost completely on their subject matter jurisdiction related to the video transfer date for this person, because the international sex trafficker dude is in the UK. So that explains the timestamps. And then the fact that I've never had a conversation, apparently, with this girl means that their footnote is also incorrect, which should have never been there in the first place. And so obviously after the deposition, we made a request from them like, hey, can you file a correction on this? Because you kind of were just like sticking this in public filings. I think they don't respond maybe for like a week. And then we said, we basically said, if you don't do this, we're going to file a Rule 11 sanctions against you. And then they said, well, if you file a Rule 11 against us, we're going to file a Rule 11 against you. And it's like, okay. That's, you said on at least 2 occasions you had phone calls with her. I thought I talked to this person on the phone, but apparently I didn't. I know that it mind fucks some people that you could get something wrong from 2 or 3 years ago. I know that in the court of Gistical's Discord server's opinion in Kiwi Farms, that if somebody says something at some point in time, you can use one message to try to win an entire court case. There's a reason why this case is dead. There's a reason why none of that is true. And I know that it's fun online to try to have like one message. Like, well, you said this one thing, so it must mean all the blah, 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 blah. But unfortunately, that's not how the big boy world works. And you have to actually like build a case using real evidence and not a single sentence or a single statement. Keep in mind that at the time I'm talking to Pixie on this thing, remembering my conversations with this girl, or supposedly the girl, but I guess it was just some creepy fucking weirdo on this account the entire time, I am standing in the shower getting notified that 27 plus videos or whatever of me have been posted online. The majority of them are just fucking single solo masturbation videos of me. So sorry if my memory recollection wasn't absolutely flawless or perfect at that particular point in time. But I know that you love the single messages because it's literally all you people have. So knock yourself out. The record is the record. Get fucked. As an initial matter, plaintiff and her counsel have been on notice of the falsity of their allegations since at least October 23rd, 2025, the date of the person's deposition. At the deposition, she testified to a bunch of things. Rather, she also testified a whole bunch of other things. Bonnell did not share any sexually explicit material with, this is the Rose account, or the Rose person, the underlying person, or any other minor. In light of this testimony, Bonnell demanded the plaintiff file a notice of errata and corrected opposition without the false and defamatory allegation included therein. Despite this demand, plaintiff and her counsel have failed and or refused to do so in violation of their obligations under Rule 11. The court should impose appropriate sanctions. I think Rule 11 just has to do with like filing things that, I think Rule 11 just has to do with like making sure the stuff that you file with the court is truthful. Destin, you said they were fairly close to you, to Pixie too, because this was a person who I thought was fairly close to me. I'd had 2 or 3 years of conversations with this person. Yes. Yes. Factual background. On September 19th, 2025, Bunnell filed a motion to dismiss the operative complaint on the grounds that the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction over this dispute because the date of the alleged transmission of the video preceded the effective date of the federal statute, which forms the basis of the plaintiff's complaint. Pixie knew this from the very beginning as well. Maybe more will come out about this, maybe not, but basically, I can say with 100% certainty that Pixie and Lauren have been collaborating to hide and obscure evidence. When I keep complaining publicly and I keep saying, they're not giving me discovery, she's not giving me discovery, she's not giving me discovery, that's bullshit and I'm lying to you. I know why they're not giving me discovery. It's because the both of them have collaborated on destroying stuff so that they have nothing to turn over to me. That's what I really meant when I was saying that. But that's what's been going on the entire time. That's why I said I'm going after Lauren's legal license as soon as this case is over. I'm going to be trying to file the mother of all fucking bar complaints in Florida to get her disbarred. And then Pixie, if she ever tries to do character and fitness or whatever, for whatever bullshit, you know, dog-ass law school she's going to, it'll be the same fucking thing. On October 3rd, plaintiff filed an opposition to the motion. Plaintiff falsely asserted the Bunnell exchange sexually explicit material with a minor, specifically in a wholly irrelevant footnote. Plaintiff falsely stated, after finally ascertaining Rose's legal identity, plaintiff has obtained evidence that Rose's date of birth is October 30th, 2004. Thus, when Bunnell was exchanging pornographic content with Rose between March of 2022 and until October 30th of 2022, Rose was a minor, referencing the footnote that they put in this filing. To support her baseless claim, plaintiff identified Blank as the individual referred to in her pleadings as Rose, and to demonstrate that Ms. Blank was a minor at the time of events alleged, plaintiff filed a copy of Ms. Blank's official certification of Department of Motor Vehicles driving record, Exhibit B, to the opposition. On October 23rd, plaintiff deposed Rose in Rockford, Illinois. At her deposition, Rose testified to a bunch of things. Basically, this is more or less is that I've never communicated with this person ever in my entire fucking life, which was a mind fuck to me. But do her lawyers not realize how like absolutely unhinged and unprofessional they look? To be honest, I'm surprised the judge hasn't come out yet and said like, you guys need it. Who knows? We'll see when the rulings come out. I mean, there's still a non-zero chance I just went on the motion to dismiss, but they don't care about looking unhinged or not. This is a purely 1,000,000,000%. Just look at whatever people say about me and know that it's probably just about them. This is just a spite-driven endeavor where Pixie and Lauren are doing everything they can to cover for an actual international fucking child porn producing sex trafficker because they just want to keep hitting my reputation. That's the only thing this is at this point. But yeah. Bunnell did not share any pornographic content with Ms. Blank or any other minor. Plaintiff and her attorneys know this now. On October 30th, 2025, counsel with Bunnell sent a letter to plaintiff's counsel demanding that plaintiff file a notice of errata and corrected pleading to retract plaintiff's knowingly false allegation in her opposition. To date, plaintiff's counsel has not provided a substantive response to the letter, nor have they taken the corrective action requested. Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure provides, in pertinent part, by blah, 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 so it's just all this, you can't lie in your shit. Here, plaintiff's false allegation that Bunnell exchanged pornographic material with a minor was included for an improper purpose, namely, to publicly humiliate and harass Bunnell and sway the court's opinion of him. Critically, the age of the purported recipient of the victim, or I'm sorry, of the video, has no bearing whatsoever on plaintiff's claim in this action, nor does it have any bearing on whether the court has subject matter jurisdiction in this case, which is the threshold issue sub judice. Judice? Moreover, plaintiff and her lawyers have been on notice of the falsity of their allegations since at least October 23rd, 2025, yet they have failed and or refused to correct their knowingly false and unsupported contention in the opposition. Plaintiff and her counsel's refusal to correct this egregious and intentionally inflammatory misstatement warrants Rule 11 sanctions. Would you prefer not to win on the motion to dismiss so you can get subpoena info from Lauren for her disbarment? No, I'm never getting anything via subpoena from Lauren. Her and Pixie have been maliciously and intentionally covering their trail and doing stuff to make sure that nothing will ever be produced from her that will be incriminating. This has been in play since the very start of these proceedings. So it doesn't matter if anything happens court-wise or any of that. It literally doesn't matter. Yeah. For the reasons stated herein, Bunnell respectfully requests that the court sanction plaintiff and her counsel jointly and severally. This is a legal term. Pursuant to Rule 11, including but not limited to awarding monetary sanction. So we push all that. Okay. This is a transcript from the deposition. This is under seal until I don't know if this technically ever gets unsealed or not. I don't know. This is our email that we sent to them, saying, "Hey, you should correct this because this is not true." This was sent on October 30th. Oh, you have to give them a notice before you file a Rule 11, I think of 3 weeks before you can file it. I don't even know if they responded to this other than to say that they were going to file a Rule 11 against us if we file a Rule 11 against them, which I don't even think you can do. I don't know if that's... Wait, I say they didn't respond to the Rule 11 sanction request in the 3 weeks. I think they just said that if we file one, they'll file one. That was it. So I'll get to Jones' motion soon. I've got a lot of stuff to post about this guy later as well. So Esports Batman is one of the only fake lawyers left in Just Guild's Discord server that likes to poke holes in this. I just want to say that a few weeks ago, I laughed about the fact that people were like, how could any of this possibly be true? Like, it seems so unbelievable. True. Thank you. I agree. It does seem really unbelievable, which is one of the reasons why it was such a mindfuck. So, like Joan Peters and Pixie, they have switched gears into saying that, oh, well, the other girl must just be lying about everything because there's no way that any of that could be true. If that's the road that you want to go down, then feel free to do whatever you want. Remember, no matter what happens, I have to be the devil and literally every horrible thing in the universe must originate with me, and if anything else seems to say otherwise, that thing must be lying. But I thought she was impersonated. How does she know exactly what happened if someone else was acting as her? I'm not saying she's lying, just she can't know everything if someone is impersonating her. You can't have someone testify to personal knowledge if they weren't there / involved with the event. So the person who was operating the account, who was catfishing me with her stuff. So this is a common thing that these fucking retards keep bringing up. It's like, oh, well then, tell me, Den Destiny, how is it that she's wearing your fucking merch? Haha. Because this guy ordered it, sent it to her house, had her take pictures of it, and then posted those pictures of her in my merchandise to me on the catfished account. This person went way the fuck beyond to try to mind fuck and catfish me and make me to ensure that I really thought this person was who I was talking to. So yes, if you think it's incredibly fucking crazy and unlikely and weird and whatever, yes, welcome to my fucking life. But you also could just accuse, you know, the actual victim of all of this, as just somebody who's lying over and over again with absolutely no evidence. But, yeah. Did he order it from your store? Wouldn't you have his payment details then? Yeah, I would. The issue is that all of my legal work initially was going to be plaintiff work. Also, ignore everything I'm saying because apparently I'm lying about all of this, despite the fact that multiple people have seen this packet that I was putting together, but everybody says I'm lying about this on Jessica's server because that's fine because these people are all subhuman. But the initial firm that I was working for in New York was going to be plaintiff work to go against the person who leaked everything. As soon as the defense work started, the plaintiff case took a backseat. I axed it because I can't afford psychologically or monetarily to run two huge lawsuits at the same time. Okay? So theoretically, the payment information would be available from the person who initially the merch was sold to. That was a road that I was going down. But in order to get the information from them, their legal team won't release it to me because it includes addresses and everything else without a subpoena. And since I didn't file that lawsuit yet for the New York case, because we weren't ready to file that lawsuit yet, I didn't have anything there that I could use to do legal pressure against them. Anyway, that was our filing on December 1st. We have 3 new filings from plaintiff filed today. Oh boy. All right. Number 1. Plaintiff Jane Doe's motion to modify the scheduling order. Plaintiff Jane Doe, by and through the undersigned counsel and pursuant to federal rule, civil procedure, blah, 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 paper, blah, 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 hereby moves the date for modifying the scheduling order. So this is her begging to kick back discovery, despite the fact that they've found nothing, produced nothing, and done nothing so far, and have operated in the most bad faith manner possible, including but not limiting to fabricating a person like Abby, who is clearly like fucking mentally ill or has brain injury, to get a statement from her and then refuse to produce her for any deposition, have not sat her for deposition at all. We've gotten no statements, no evidence, nothing from her. They simply got a piece of paper the night before our evidentiary hearing, and then off into the wind she fucking disappears. Despite the fact that initially they said they fully represented her, and then apparently they changed their mind on that. And then they said they represented her for matters of the subpoena, and then they changed their mind on being able to provide us information about that. So they literally just stuck a fucking post-it note on this girl's mentally fucked brain and then sent her out into the wind so that they could keep the case long enough for whatever the fuck we're at now. There is no excuse and no reason why they couldn't have sat any of these people for deposition, why they couldn't have filed anything earlier for Melina or anybody else, because they've dragged their feet on everything. Because it's not even they drag their feet on everything, they just have nothing, and they know they have nothing, and they know that nothing will come up. But now they want to move back. Discovery was supposed to end in 2 weeks. Do you know who Solo is now? I know everything now, but it doesn't matter until this court case is over. Discovery is supposed to end on December 16th. This was supposed to be the thing that I was like petrified and terrified of, because apparently I was hiding so much stuff. But alas, it has been plaintiff who has been engaged in a rampant deletion of and obscuring of and hiding of materials while she continues to send me a whole bunch of irrelevant, random, stupid shit while she visits her fake wife that she has in fucking Miami that she illegally married to get a green card. I know for a fact that this is exactly what she did, because Lauren De Laguna also helped facilitate this. All of this is 100% fucking true. She could sue me if she doesn't like it, because truth is an absolute defense to defamation, and I know how litigious she is, so knock yourself out. Like I said, this is all stuff I'm going to be fucking going on hardcore after this fucking case ends, which is probably one of the reasons why they want to delay it ending. But More specifically, plaintiff respectfully requests an extension of the discovery cutoff of 60 days, which would place the new discovery cutoff date on February 17th, 2026. With a proposed new deadline for dispositive motions of March 16th, 2026, and a pre-trial motions deadline of April 18th, 2026, with the current trial date of May 18th, 2026 remaining in place, unless the court finds a brief continuance of the trial date to be appropriate. There is no fucking world where this got extended, the discovery, all the way to February, I don't believe that that the trial date would remain the same. They're going to try to kick it all down the road as much as possible. The active discovery period in this matter did not commence until the protective order governing discovery is issued, blah, blah, blah. This leaves no more than 3.5 months for the parties to conduct discovery under the current scheduling order. As of today and further detailed below, the following discovery has not yet been completed. One, written discovery has been exchanged, but there are unresolved objections to defendant's document production. I have produced way more than she has, and I produced everything that's responsive to what she's asking for. The only stuff that they're still asking for is like retarded shit, like we need like Lycan's address. Or we need cryptographic hashes. Like, if you want, I could just go generate a hash on all my text files. It's just the most retarded random shit in the universe. But there's like 7 or 8 outstanding things that... Nice, sorry. There's like 7 or 8 outstanding things that we've requested that we have nothing of. I don't have any of Pixie's conversations with Aaron. I don't have any of her conversations with Lauren. I don't have any of her conversations that are super responsive to any... Like, all of the people that we've found for subpoenaing are people that we've had to find on our own. She didn't disclose any of them initially. And they've tried to throw up roadblocks to us subpoenaing or... doing depositions for anybody that would, maybe. Would they help our case? Who knows? We haven't deposed them yet. The depositions of plaintiff and defendant have not been rescheduled, despite plaintiff's good faith effort to do so. So the thing that scares me about this, about trying to move back the dates here, is that this argument is decently strong, and generally, like, we're going to fight the motion, but, like, generally speaking, you have to depose the parties to the case. So because the judge hasn't ruled on our protective order and because neither party, so me nor Pixie, have been deposed yet, I feel like the judge will extend the discovery. I guess I'm hoping maybe it'll only be a month instead of 2 months. I don't know. But like we haven't done anything. So is that allowed? If it is, why don't you do it too? Why don't I do what? There's nothing for me to do. I don't have anything to hide. I don't need to do anything like that. I don't need to. And also, technically, all the depositions they've done have just been incredibly helpful to me. Their deposition of Rose, which they thought was going to be this slam dunk fucking crazy thing, ended up biting them in the ass hardcore halfway through that fucking deposition. They realized they were completely and totally fucked. So I don't have anything to fucking hide on this shit. Like, all my shit is leaked to the public, is out in the open, is whatever anyway. Like, the only people with shit to hide right now are Lauren, who is apparently stalking and harassing me fucking publicly when I visit other states, and then fucking Pixie, who likes to just close her eyes like the retarded dipshit she is and pretend that none of this is even happening while she, you know, travels around to Miami and hangs out with her fake fucking wife and posts these fucking videos on TikTok or whatever. And then, you know, does her 7 years of law school in Illinois or however the fuck long it's going to take her to get her fourth degree. The deposition of non-party witness Melina Jurenson has not yet been scheduled. I don't even know what they could possibly hope to talk to her about, but okay. Furthermore, while plaintiff diligently sought and participated in a discovery since the issuance of the protective order, defendant's production of documents has been demonstrably deficient and tardy. Plaintiff engaged in a meet and confer with defense counsel, which resulted in supplemental productions of documents, including the most recent production on November 25th, but plaintiff contends that the production is still deficient and thus anticipates filing a motion to compel. Yeah, we'll see. The last stuff... Oh, actually, I should say the last stuff that they tried to ask for was, I think they were saying, like, we need all your recent conversations with, like, food shops and Zip or whatever. And it's like, excuse me, I'm sorry, you stupid fuck. You don't get to just, like, mine all my random personal conversations because you're fucking bored and you're some loser has nothing to do with their life but read through my Discord logs. Like, eat shit, kick rocks. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's so stupid. The last three, and there were, like, 3 or 4 random Discord people like, oh, we need all your recent conversations. Shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of here. Give me a single conversation that's actually responsive to what we've asked for. But plaintiff will also require adequate time to investigate her forensic expert's findings of potential spoliation and tampering of evidence by defendant. Well, how much more time do you fucking need to sit there and read some guy who's tech illiterate who filed a bullshit SIR reply to retract 2 paragraphs of his quote unquote expert witness testimony like the day after he fucking filed it? Give me a fucking break. Which plaintiff could not have anticipated. In view of the incomplete discovery and the looming discovery cutoff date, plaintiff's counsel proposed that the parties file a joint motion to extend the deadlines and suggested dates for the depositions of plaintiff and defendant in Miami during the same week in early January. Oh, so now you can schedule it in the same week? Oh, I thought before that was impossible. But if it's going to be past the December deadline, oh, now all of a sudden you're willing to do it. Good one. Good one. see Exhibit V, or Exhibit B. Defendant's refusal to agree to a reasonable modification of certain deadlines smacks of bad faith and gamesmanship and an ulterior motive to prevent the defendant's deposition from taking place. Even the moderate request for a 60-day continuance plaintiff proposed would make it difficult to allow the parties to reasonably conduct discovery and resolve any discovery disputes, given that it would set an active discovery period spanning less than 6 months. It would be highly prejudicial to plaintiff to be unable to take the deposition of defendant or complete other discovery in this matter. Courts have routinely extended discovery, blah, blah, blah. Relevant factual background. That's just the case. Plaintiff diligently conducted and participated in a discovery. That's a fucking lie. None of the earlier things that I said. Destiny, how does she benefit from pushing the deadline back? Because her case is a loser, and she knew it before she filed the fucking case. So she doesn't want to go to trial. Or maybe she does, but whatever she wants to do, the only thing that damages me is however long this goes on for. The last thing that Pixie wants is the case to be dismissed, for me to win on the motion for summary judgment, or for me to win at trial. She wouldn't care if I win at trial because of that case, it's gone on for as long as possible. The only thing she has left is to shitpost whatever stuff the mentally retarded Joan is willing to throw in whatever fucking court filing that ChatGPT is willing to write for her, and that's it. That's all she has. So the longer they can keep it going, the more motion practice that she can do. I'm glad that Joan found a new map to grind her motion writing skills in, and has probably leveled up 400 fucking times, writing more motions than every fucking than every attorney in the state of fucking Florida for the past, I don't know what. So when is discovery over? Discovery was supposed to end in a week and a half. They wanted to go on for another 2 months. What happens after discovery ends? Well, after discovery ends, you can file for your motion for summary judgment. So right now we have an outstanding, there's a lot of outstanding stuff. Right now we have an outstanding motion to dismiss saying the court doesn't even have the subject matter jurisdiction to hear this case because they don't even have any allegedly bad behavior that is even in the time frame of like this, of when the law was even written. The chances of winning on that, I thought were low, but they might be higher than I thought. But after discovery ends, you can file a motion for summary judgment. Motion for summary judgment is where the judge is allowed to look at all the data, not all the data, is allowed to look at all the evidence and make a more determinative thing based on what's actually in the record. The motion for summary judgment is where I plan on winning. The only way, it would be really surprising if I didn't win on that. But after discovery ends, that motion for summary judgment can be filed, but with discovery still ongoing, there's no way you can file an MSJ. I mean, you could, but it would be retarded because the judge is more likely to refuse it because he's saying, well, you guys haven't even finished discovery yet. What the fuck? And I believe you only get one shot at a motion for summary judgment. This is just random excuses that her lawyer is writing for her. We would have sat for these depositions months ago if they hadn't dragged their fucking feet on all the fucking filings and dragged their feet on scheduling anything. Do you have any background info on why this Joan person hates your fucking guts or what is her problem? I don't know. My guess is a family friend. She's an immigration lawyer from Puerto Rico who is appearing pro grace for this case. My guess is she's just a family friend. How many people are maliciously participating on the legal side of this? On the legal side, I mean, it's just her lawyers. Lauren De Laguna herself has contacted at least 9 people. Where she's reaching out to people to make videos on me. She gave Amy Dangerfield, you remember how she randomly made a video about the court case? It was because Lauren was giving her guidance on that. Lauren has spoke to ABBA. She spoke to Irrelevant. She emailed Hassan and Ethan to try to hop on their shit. She's reached out to so many different people. It's absolutely fucking unreal how many different people behind this. I don't know how she has the time to do all this shit. It's unbelievable to me. Jesus. Defendant's deposition might also shed additional light on plaintiff's spoliation claims, which might result in additional motion practice. I cannot wait. I hope, Joan, you show up for the fucking deposition. You don't send Carlos to do it, you fucking coward piece of shit. Please, God, show up for this. Because I noticed you skipped the evidentiary hearing. So embarrassing. The spoliation of what? They have nothing on this. It is grasping at the thinnest straws possible to try to claim that I've evidence tampered or whatever. Oh my God, I cannot wait for these fucking, for the party depositions. District courts have unquestionable authority to control their own docket. Blah, 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 blah. List of prior motions to modify scheduling order, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's this. Carlos. This is just about him testifying the discovery stuff. This is our trial scheduling. God, I don't even know if I've read these emails. On December 2nd, this was 2 days ago, counsel, the discovery deadline is December 16th, 2 weeks away. The court has not yet ruled on defendant's motion for protective order, and dates have not yet been set for the deposition of either plaintiff or defendant. There are other pending matters as well, including but not limited to the defendant's document production, plaintiff's potential motion to compel, and the deposition of Melina Jurenson. Schedule it. What are you waiting for? We propose filing a joint motion to extend the discovery deadline until February 16th and setting the plaintiff's and defendant's deposition for any 2 days between January 12th and 16th. Well, she's in Miami now, isn't she? Wasn't this stupid fuck here for Thanksgiving? Why couldn't we just do it now? Where is she still here? Hello? What do you want? Let's do it. It's because they want to schedule it outside of the discovery window so that they can make another argument for extending the discovery guidelines. Or not guidelines, the deadlines. Proposed order granting plaintiff Joe's motion for Monica. Oh, this is the order they proposed to the judge. Let's see. That was 3, 2. What is this? Or 1, 2. Okay. Aha. You file for sanctions against me. I file for sanctions against you. Whoa. Bonnell's Rule 11 motion. Wait, what is this? This is a response and opposition to defendant's motion. Oh, this is their response, and then the next one is the whatever, yeah. Bonnell's Rule 11 motion constitutes a textbook example of a frivolous sanctions motion brought for the sole purpose of harassing and intimidating a plaintiff into withdrawing meritorious claims and or testing the factual strength or legal sufficiency of plaintiff's claims. So again, and I understand, I don't know if it's where they normally practice law. Maybe Carlos and Joan don't read English, and so they're using a translation. Maybe Pixie's bored, and she's playwriting a lot of these motions. Or maybe Lauren has, in between the 200 clients she supposedly has in her Florida law firm that existed as of 2 months ago, maybe she's doing all the writing. But Rose could have been a one-year-old, and it would have no bearing on plaintiff's case. This case has nothing to do with who received the status of a person who received anything. It has nothing to do with any of that. That's not what's at play here. So I don't know why shoving random things in a footnote to try to harass me is testing the factual strength or legal sufficiency of plaintiff's claims. If you guys are listening, because apparently you listen to all my streams, I can email you the statutes. If you need like to walk through the element one by one by one by one, there is no age thing listed out in any of these statutes. So I'm not sure where you're getting these things are. I know you like to make up quotes and parts of the laws, but Jesus Christ. Such a tactical Rule 11 motion is itself subject to Rule 11 sanctions under well-settled 11th Circuit precedent. The strategic yet frivolous nature of Bonnell's motion is substantiated by several factors. First, Bonnell declined to raise his objections in his reply to the fraction of the response to the motion to dismiss he now attacks. Second, Bonnell's protestations are belied. When did that? Wait, what was the date of that? Had we done the deposition yet? We might not have known. The reply is DE 149, October 10th. Oh, that's another issue too, you guys. So like October 10th, so we had on the 23rd. Hold on. Sorry, fuck. I need to do a paint for this. So we used to make these in math class in first grade. I think these are called like number lines. So 10 is here. Okay, so you go like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Okay, time goes in one direction. How the fuck are we going to say something here on the 10th to some piece of information that we discovered on the 23rd? Do you see how this number here is way after this number here? Do you see how that comes way after? Unless you have a DeLorean that could go 88 miles per hour. I don't know what the point of that is, but okay. Bonnell's protestations are belied by the evidence adduced to date, and even by the fact that Bonnell himself referred to the exchanges described in the disputed footnote in the identical manner in which plaintiff did. Yeah, but more information came out. We have more information because you fucking morons thought that you could do a big fucking owner awesome deposition that ended up exploding in your fucking face. Third, Bonnell's objections are patently premature. By way of example, as of the time of Bonnell's Rule 11 motion was served, Bonnell had yet to sit for deposition, including to testify about the events in question. At most, Bonnell might opt to raise his objections in a motion for summary judgment or motion for Lamine, at the appropriate juncture, or he could have moved to strike. Fourth, Rule 11 is not designed to resolve a disputed factual issue raised in a single footnote of a response, which would unnecessarily increase the cost. The factual issue here is not relevant to any of your claims, though. They're not relevant to any of the elements to anything here. Lemony, is that it? Fifth, Bonnell's Rule 11 motion is devoid of any legal discussion about the relevance of similar acts by Bonnell. Coupled with the unsupportable nature of his factual contentions, Bonnell's arguments amount to no more than conclusory and misleading contentions. quoting the legal standard. Bundle's characterization of the facts misleading. As an initial matter, it should be noted that Bundle does not actually dispute that this person, screen name Rose, here and after Reuters Rose, was a minor when pornographic materials were exchanged prior to her October 2022 birthday, just as plaintiff accurately noted in the footnote. That's not exactly what you said in the footnote, but okay. Docket entry 183 at 1 and 6, defendant arguing, rather, that Rose's age is immaterial. Well, because when you're a lawyer, you make multiple arguments at the same time, right? That's why you have five different arguments here and not just one, because you always make every argument you can, right? Indeed, Bono was apparently concerned enough about Rose having been a minor at the time that he raised the issue at her deposition. In fact, Bono fails to disclose in his Rule 11 motion. What does this have to do with anything? Exhibit A, the declaration of blah, 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 blah. Bono himself generally refers to exchanges of materials between Bono and Rose in the same manner plaintiff did in the footnote and tellingly raised no such objection to the footnote therein. Yeah, because we didn't have the information at the time. Why am I even reading this? I'm just kidding. It's just here. This is just to troll me. I'm just being trolled. It is patently clear that Bonnell's argument boils down to an objection to the relevance of Rose's age at the time, but he bases this objection on representations to this court, which are, however, anything but undisputed. Specifically, Bonnell posits that the fact that Rose is a minor is irrelevant because, one, Rose's then-boyfriend Solo was catfishing Bonnell, two, Rose was not directly operating the social media account through which the pornographic materials were exchanged, any of the accounts, by the way, and three, Rose did not see any of plaintiff's materials. DA 183 at 1. Despite the fact that it is patently improper to force plaintiff to litigate these highly disputed factual issues at this stage of the case for the reasons set forth in sections 2 and 3, infra, plaintiff addresses why Bonnell's contentions are problematic. Then why are you putting them in footnotes? Then why would you put something like this in a fucking footnote? Bonnell laments, for example, that Rose also testified that Solo shared with her materials Bonnell sent to Rose over the imposter account. C, Exhibit A, blah, 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 I don't know, Rose admitting that she was shown a handful of videos of Destiny sent via the imposter account. Rose also testified that Solo shared with her the Discord messages exchanged with Bonnell. I'm not sending these, though. I'm not the one sending these. Your stupid fucking ass didn't name Solo as a party to the case. You're not suing him. You're suing me. I'm not the one sending these things to that other person. And that she knew that the explicit images and videos that she took of herself would be provided to Bonnell. Rose further testified that she does not know the plaintiff. This is important because if Rose does not know the plaintiff, she could not know one way or another whether one of the handful of videos that Destiny sent depicted plaintiff. Because stuff has come out afterwards because stuff was leaked online. I'm getting one guide. I'm not getting one guide. Based on these facts, the question whether Rose ever saw plaintiff's materials is anything but undisputed. Even if she was... So Pixie sent... Holy shit, Pixie sent porn to a child? Is that what we're saying now? Is this the transitive property of bad legal arguments? Damn, that's crazy. Disgusting. I can't believe she did that. Holy fuck. Gross. Rule 11 sanctions against Bonnell are warranted for exhibiting a deliberate indifference to obvious facts. Furthermore, Rose's testimony also reveals that because A, she was aware of Bonnell being catfished through the imposter account, and that sexually explicit material of her would be shared with Bonnell. B, Bonnell was making requests for explicit material, and that C, materials were being shared in this manner, and then, at times, shown to her. She was at least indirectly communicating with Bonnell. Based argument. True. This person, by the way, who told me that they were 18 or 19 years old, this person who I no claims whatsoever about this person being a minor ever, number one. Number two, I'm not even talking to this fucking person. I'm talking to a person operating the account catfishing. Okay, but based. We're basically besties, is what my good friend Carlos here is trying to say. Thank you, Your Honor. Thus, the footnote stating that Bono was exchanging material with a minor is not incorrect. So I guess so Pixie was too then? The fact that Solo acted as a go-between? The guy who is trafficking her is a go-between. I'm just kidding. That's okay. Go-between. Based. Does not alter this assertion. Well, I mean, it kind of fucking does, but okay. The fact remains that Bonnell requested explicit material of a minor and that the minor provided it for him and he received it and viewed it. No indication that this person was underage at the time. I'm not requesting anything directly from this person. I'm not even sure. I'd have to go through if they offered this all or if I was requesting anything. I would have to go back and check. I don't even know if I request anything. This person was forthcoming with a whole bunch of shit, but this person apparently was her creepy, weirdo fucking adult boyfriend from the UK who was running the fucking account. But okay. And while Rose repeatedly testified that she did not message directly with Bonnell, she also testified that she did not recall whether she ever spoke to him via other means. I honestly don't remember if I ever called Bonnell. Moreover, Bonnell produced in this case his communications with an individual with a screen name, Straiterate, which included messages on November 29th, in which he states that he had decent length phone calls with Rose multiple times about both of our personal things, never had a problem, issue, fight over literally anything else. I thought I had at the time. It's possible that there was another person I was chatting with on the phone instead. I know that this Rose person offered to call me, or we talked about calling. Although at this point, apparently Solo literally could have just had her call me and we would have talked that way. But none of this is material to any of this stuff. I think after I said this, when Pixie filed her court case, I'm pretty sure I went back and I checked the logs that I had. By the way, that Pixie has as well, because unlike her, I actually produced my fucking discovery information. There are no calls in our Discord history, and I have no calls in my phone logs about calling any fucking phone numbers from fucking Illinois or anything else. So, do you think it was a woman or someone using a voice changer? No, if I would have called her, it would have been at around the time when all the crazy Lauren shit was happening. But there was another person I was talking to, too. So my guess is I was just talking to this person. But I was texting this Solo person, I guess, a lot as well. But I don't even know what the story... Why would I lie? Why would I lie about this? Oh, well, I guess the logistical Discord theory is that I contacted Rose ahead of time, and then me and her set up a whole devious plot to fuck with Pixie, I guess. But as such, Bonnell's claim that he never communicated with Rose, including when she was a minor, is misleading and belied by the record. How unbelievably inappropriate in a back and forth in a civil suit that has nothing to do with fucking child porn or anything to try to be litigating this in these bullshit ass replies and these bullshit ass Rule 11 sanctions. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, these are big claims. Like, if you want to have, like, a formal, actual case relating to this fucking shit, well, then let's fucking do that. But why, the fact that I have to litigate whether or not I'm a fucking pedophile in replies to court motions on a totally unrelated matter? Like, Jesus. The evidence shows that Rose was also victimized by Bonnell through doxing. The Kiwi Farms arguments. Copy-paste in all of it. And that, despite suspecting that Rose was a minor, I never suspected Rose was a minor, ever. Why the fuck would I post anything about this person? They know this. I don't know why I'm shouting. They know that this is all retarded as fuck. Despite suspecting that Rose was a minor, he tried to send a group of guys to find her because he wanted to talk to her. Yeah, because my impression at the time was either she was directly involved in leaking all my shit, or whoever was running the account was leaking all my shit, and I wanted to know who the fuck it was. I think I had that right, and since your fucking client is too fucking retarded to actually file a court case because the person who leaked everything, apparently I'm the only one that can find any of this shit. So yeah, I was trying to find out who the fuck the person was. While it is understandable that Bonnell seeks to have these disturbing facts stricken from the record, his Rule 11 motion represents a transparent attempt to intimidate plaintiff into withdrawing her meritorious allegations. What allegations are you fucking making? Such bad faith tactics warrant sanctions against Bonnell and his counsel, going after Andy B. Wait, what? I knew a Rose from a Discord server. They said they were taking a break around like July of 2023. Would be crazy if it's the same person. Wait, who? I'm so curious. Post the name of the Discord account in YouTube chat, because I guess fuck it, if we're just throwing shit from the whatever in here. So I knew that whatever the actual story was, there was going to be some hard to account for fact. So in my mind, the reason why there's no possible way that this could have been a catfish, the strongest piece of evidence that I had personally was, if it was a catfish, why is it that when I mess it, one, why would they sit on the material for so long? And then two, when I messaged the person, why wouldn't they just try to get more material out of me? Like, I'd never had a fight with this person ever. We were on super good terms. Like, why would they not just keep saying, like, oh, hey, like, send me more videos or let's gossip more, whatever else. But I found out why. And the reason why is because that's not the same person. The reason why is because this whoever this Rose person was broke away from the Solo guy in, I believe it was August of 2023. And so now I understand why. Because that was around, I think, even when they told me that they broke up with their boyfriend, but it was Solo talking about himself on her account. And then that's why they didn't send me anything else or try to do any more back and forth, because they didn't have access to the original person anymore. So that, I understand now why our communication stopped there and why they didn't try to get more stuff out of me. It makes sense. But you in YouTube chat just said that you knew a Rose that said in 2023 in July, when I think it was August. That's really crazy if that's the case. If that's the same person, that's really crazy. I don't have receipts and never DM them. They were just acting in general. Okay. Huh. Maybe it might have been the same person. Could that be the real Rose? I would have to know the Discord account, because apparently there was... Oh, well, I don't know. She went back. I don't know if she used that one much, though. I'm not sure. But It could have, that could have been sold on that account. Queeman viewer, by the way, and Justical fan, by the way, for who this old guy is. But Rule 11 prohibits conversion of factual disputes into a sanctions dispute. Do they even dispute that Solo Guy was the one that posted the material online? How is that even relevant? They don't want to go anywhere near that, because even if they were to get over the threshold issues, and even if they were to establish subject matter jurisdiction, and even if they were to demonstrate that I transmitted this video after the effective date, and even if they were to get this all the way to trial, and then even if a jury were to find me liable or guilty of it, they would still have to get into an argument over what kind of damages would even be awarded, because the proximate cause, the foreseeability of my actions, like how much would it have led to anything, the main guy that would be liable for stuff would be the Solo person. This is why Pixie got shot down by the first two real attorneys that tried to take her case, because they knew that like your damages aren't going to be on this guy who might have sent the video to one person. It's going to be the guy who posted it fucking online. That's where all of your damages are. But They're the reason why they don't bring up him or him posting anything is because they probably want to try to section that off as much as possible to get me as liable for as much as possible. But this, they would have to clear, they have to clear so many fucking hurdles to get to that place. But the person said that their Discord name was Rose Emoji Rose. Well, that's the display name, but that won't be the actual Discord name. But okay, that might have been them. Maybe I'd have to go check. Interesting. Small world, small online world. Bonnell's Rule 11 tactic in the case at bar is particularly telling for several reasons. A, again, Bonnell did not even raise his objection in his reply. B, this case is still in the pleading stage. Yeah, the pleading stage. We haven't even started discovery yet, by the way. It's not even started yet. Does this discovery stage count as the pleading stage? Where's Kafka at? And C, the issue is at most an objection. He may raise any motion in lemony? At the appropriate juncture. Indeed, as of this date, Bonnell served his Rule 11 motion. Bonnell himself has yet to sit for deposition, which further highlights the calculated and misleading nature of his premature Rule 11 motion. Bonnell's Rule 11 motion to send harass plaintiff and pressure into abandoning relevant claims. They're not relevant. By voluntarily striking them from her opposition, thereby demanding that she waive her right to raise these issues. You don't even have standing for these issues. What the fuck are you talking about? Right to raise these issues on whose behalf? What are you talking about? As noted, a careful review of his Rule 11 arguments reveals that Bonnell does not, in fact, see the rose of minor when pornographic materials were exchanged. True. There were probably hundreds of millions of miners on the planet. Do you think that Brattler is polished up enough on his time cube to compete with Joan P? Because when they reply to you, pointing out the 23rd is after the 10th by noting that midday is just the shadow of midnight, I don't know if Andy will be prepared. True. Jiminy. Oh, Limony rhymes with Jiminy. Limony. Like that. While Bonnell is expected to argue that Rose's testimony was adduced after the briefing on the motion to dismiss was completed. Oh, good job. Oh, they do know time. This does not render his conduct in bringing his Rule 11 motion any less egregious. Bonnell's objection is that these allegations against him are false, which he could have, but declined to contest by submitting a declaration. But why would I have to submit a declaration? We did a deposition. Why do we need a declaration? For me, we already have the deposition of the person. But the underlying timelines or timeliness issue also further underscores that Rule 11 was not designed to threaten sanction every time some evidence is adduced during discovery that one party can attempt to frame a certain way. If that were permitted, litigants would bring hundreds of Rule 11 motions on a rolling basis. Yeah, maybe you would, dipshit. Maybe don't stick random fucking shit in footnotes with the goal of defaming or harassing me as part of a lawsuit. Also, by the way, because I'm learning cool, I guess, civil procedure stuff, ordinarily, this is the loser way to do court stuff, okay? So let's say I have a potential, potential person who might have information about a court case, okay? Person of interest. I'll just call him this, okay? Now, stupid, okay? If you learn this in law school, whatever, you're retarded, okay? So what you might think is like, oh, well, I am the plaintiff. I'm going to go ahead and shoot a subpoena to them and request that they sit for a deposition, okay? During a deposition, a deposition allows the plaintiff to ask them questions, and it allows the defendant to ask them questions. And then we get a nice transcript. We both get to ask our questions. As part of the subpoena, I think we can ask our other documents as well, right? Wow, okay. This is a loser approach, okay? Instead, we have the upgraded model, the Joan Peters approach, okay? Now, let's say that we're the plaintiff when you have a person of interest. Deposition? Don't do a deposition. That's lame. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to get an affidavit, okay? Affidavit/declaration. Because why have them sit for a deposition where they can get cross-examined? Well, it shouldn't be cross-examined because it's not technically there. But, right, why have them sit for a deposition? We just get like a piece of paper for them to sign. And then after that, then they're gone into the wind. So now the defense doesn't even have the ability to ask them a question. Okay, they are not responsive to any subpoenas. They avoid any request for deposition. Plaintiff doesn't even make a request. Plaintiff isn't even deposing their star witness, right? But why would you do that? You don't need to depose them. You already have a statement on the record in the form of an affidavit. Why would anybody ever do a deposition? Why would you ever do why would you depose somebody? Well, you could just get an affidavit. This is based. I think everybody should do this. So that's a keynote strategy. Second keynote strategy I've picked up is somebody deposing somebody that you think might have bad information against you. Well, let me tell you the keynote strategy. Let's say that there's a person of interest. You think it might be bad for you. You know they have information about you and you don't disclose them during your initial disclosures. Initial disclosures, by the way, don't ever disclose anything that could be hurtful towards you because that would be bad for your case, right? So let's say the defense somehow manages to find this person. And they shoot a subpoena to this person saying, hey, we want to depose you. And obviously, when you're firing off a subpoena, you have to make this available to the opposing counsel as well. Well, when you see that subpoena go out, your best bet is, instead of saying, hey, we'll go with you to the deposition so we can both ask questions. Loser! That would be the loser way. Don't do that. Instead, do the go-around, have a conversation with this person, represent this person, and then block the subpoena! Gene, my brain exploded. I can't believe I never thought of this strategy. It's such a great strategy. That way, nobody ever has to sit for any depositions ever. Just represent every single person, apparently. Just represent every single person that OC is trying to depose. And now you can always fight every subpoena and you didn't have to sit for anything. It's just ingenious. This is the stuff they don't teach. This is the stuff they don't teach in law school. Can you remember who they did this to? I don't know what's public on the schedule or not. It's at least 3 people so far, which is based. Honestly, it's based. I would have never thought of this. That's crazy shit. However, see section V, infra, for a preliminary discussion as to relevance. Nevertheless, at the motion to dismiss stage, it is well within the court's ability to determine which arguments are relevant and to ignore any arguments it deems irrelevant. In any case, Bynal did not argue that the footnote is not relevant in his reply. Did we not put that in the reply? Brettler, in his reply to Carlos, said that they represent 4 people on interest. Wait, is that true? Wait, Armageddon. Oh my God. Wait, link me that reply. I didn't see it. That would just be fun so I can read it on stream so I know for sure it's all public. This is from November 5th, 2025. The court issued a show cause order to plaintiff. Blah, blah, blah. We are not amenable to rescheduling the deposition time. Blah, 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 blah. Wait, was this in here? Did you link the right thing? Oh, from Andrew Bradler. Any delay in the prosecution of this case has been of plaintiff and her counsel's own doing. Indeed, plaintiff failed to show up for her own deposition. Plaintiff's counsel, who also represent 4 of the witnesses to whom Mr. Bynal issued subpoenas of this action, have actively obstructed. You can't. I'm sorry. I hope you guys realize I'm being sarcastic. You can't do this. This is retarded. If somebody subpoenas somebody for a case, you can't run around to that person and go, hey, by the way, looking for some representation. One, it's a massive fucking conflict of interest. And 2, it's obvious fucking collusion. You're not supposed to collude with witnesses. Now, I don't know if I can prove that they're colluding to doctor their testimony or whatever, but you can't run around and collect people like fucking Monopoly pieces or whatever. You can't run around and just collect new people to represent every time I issue a fucking subpoena against them. What is the capacity for this law firm for my case? Is this like a whole ass fuck? Do they have like 30 different associates who are all working on this from Puerto Rico? What the fuck? Okay. Sorry. it's just a joke. It's okay. You get Joan or Carlos disbarred for this. No! Hopefully they get in trouble, but courts are goofy things and people are goofy people. So what are you going to do? When is the next scheduled hearing? Whenever our God the judge rules on our things, we'll figure it out. First, there's no dispute that Bynal's conduct surrounding Rose is squarely alleged in the complaint and thus highly relevant to plaintiff's allegations, except not even because you lost the whole date aspect related to anything having to do with this person at all anyway. So it actually super doesn't matter. But you know who you might have had a really good argument against? Imagine if that solo guy had sent those videos to her after the Cardi cutoff date. Whoa, that might have been a really good person to name in the fucking case. Maybe that would have been a really good person to go after. Maybe? Additionally, under the statute plaintiff invokes in the case at bar, prior instances of sexual cyber harassment are plainly relevant. A person who has 1 prior conviction for sexual cyber harassment, who commits a second or subsequent sexual cyber harassment, it's a felony of the 3rd degree. Wait, what the fuck? Under the statute plaintiff invokes in the case at bar, prior instances of sexual cyber harassment are plain. Excuse me, you're talking about upgrading charges for a crime, number 1, and that's for prior convictions, not allegations. Number two, this is a civil case. Number three, you haven't even put a single thing in the record to show that I was being malicious. Number four, you lost all of the arguments having to do with malicious intent because Pixie would have qualified for all of them because she sent me, without his consent, by the way, videos of her own fucking boyfriend at the time. Number five, they lost on that evidentiary hearing in court. I shouldn't say they lost on that, but the judge literally argued against me on that. They had no counter retort to that. Why would you even bring this up? It's okay. I'm just memeing. Cross for Rule 11 sanctions. Rule 11? No, you. Stop. You, Rule 11.
This is 185? Oh. They just didn't send us these. Okay.
Bay said, also, when you redact and file stuff under seal, just never send it to the opposing counsel. Under seal is just the deposition of Rose and the H redacted versions. Oh, is it just referring to that stuff? Okay, never mind. I still don't have the unredacted thing of Abby's stuff, but that's okay. Who needs it? And then this is them just requesting sanctions for our sanctions. Does it make you feel like the system is more ripe for abuse than you originally thought? I mean, I guess a little bit. I don't know much about like court stuff. But again, the issue here is one of... The issue here is one of like when you're like a, this sounds so conceited, I don't care. The reason why celebrity people only mess around with other celebrity people is because everybody has something to lose. I mean, you hear this a lot in like anime or fucking fighting things, like don't fight with an opponent with nothing to lose. He's the most dangerous opponent. The reason why is if they have nothing to lose, they don't give a fuck about what happens. Everything in life is theoretically going to in some ways. If a person wants to ruin somebody else, then the wealthier person has the advantage. But if a person wants to ruin somebody and they're self-destructive, then, well, no, actually the wealthier person would still have the advantage. I'm just not self-destructive, I guess. But if one side is self-destructive and the other side's not, the side that has less can theoretically have way more leverage because they have nothing to lose, I guess, literally. They don't care. They have no reputation. They have no stake in anything, yeah. But I guess technically if I was self-destructive, I could do more damage. Wouldn't the judge see all these tactics and put a stop to them? If the judge hasn't called them out, do they possibly have merit? In my opinion, and I would be shocked if anybody disagreed, every substantive ruling the judge has made on this case has been heavily in my favor, I would say. I think they've been chided a number of times for improper behavior, for sending us motions to agree to and then filing different ones with the fucking court, or for playing weird or stupid games with phrases or whatever. So far, I feel like the judge is... Well, I shouldn't say the judge has done a good job because he's ruled in my favor. I feel like his writings and everything have been good on my end. So this reads like an obviously malicious suit. Is there no barrier for that? Okay, as the victim of a malicious suit, you shouldn't ask me these questions, okay? Because I would just tell you to fuck off. Okay, but the reality is litigants in court make mistakes all the time, and the thing that the courts will always err on the side of caution about is to not create a chilling effect on a victim seeking recompense or seeking justice or remedy from a court. Right. So imagine if it was the case where if you fucked up a filing or if you did something that maybe was kind of against the rules, that the judge comes down on you harshly and starts imposing sanctions and shit against you. What that would cause in the civil court system is people saying, well, fuck, I think I have a good claim here, but like, I don't want to get sanctioned because I like mess a filing up or something. Right. So courts are generally going to err heavily on the side of caution in civil and criminal matters. I think generally when it comes to making sure that people are not chilled from pursuing legal action if they feel like they have a meritorious case or claim or whatever. That being said, you can push the line, and I guess we'll find out now because we've got now two outstanding sanctions for the other side to see where the judge falls on this. But you have to be really, really, really far into the weeds on that. So is Wicked Supreme implying Rose lied under oath? Yes. Funnily enough, Rose and Pixie did the same. But that's all of Gistical's Discord server now. Because remember, so that Sabasexual guy in Gistical's Discord server is openly bragging about in that server, posting emails. This guy created several email accounts and was harassing Rose, was harassing her family, threatening them, telling them like, I hope that you contact Joan Peters. Oh, I see that you haven't yet. I hope that you would have done the right thing and I see that you failed to do that. It's very disappointing. After they were getting doxxed and harassed, by the way, by all of Kiwi Farms and by everybody that watched the stupid fucking Willie Mac videos and everybody else in Gistical's Discord server, right? And Wicked Supreme is all part of the server where they all laugh about this shit. But now the claim is that I was collaborating with Rose secretly in order to make a whole bunch of lies and shit up and everything. By the way, the only person who collaborated with or tried to do anything with Rose was Joan and Pixie. I had zero access to this person. I have messaged this person one time in my life, and it was when I found their Facebook account, and then I messaged them, and they blocked me immediately, whoever the actual Rose person is. But Joan and I guess however many weirdos in Gistical server were spamming emails at him, were going back and forth in emails with her for who knows how long. So if anything, this was their witness that they had massaged into a certain thing, who's, by the way, insanely fucking fucked over all of this, whose life has been destroyed like two or three times now. But, you know, it's all based in Epic, Matt, if you really enjoy, Epic memes. Fucking loser. Okay. Like, God, he's so stupid. I understand. God, please don't ever. You guys have heard me debate enough now. People being lawyers just means fucking nothing. I just can't believe these people. Wonder why, if Destiny knows who Solo is, why hasn't there been a Solo deposition? Because Solo's not related to the fucking case. Pixie is the plaintiff suing me, the defendant. Why the fuck would I bring in any other person that he's not related to this case? What possible relevance would Solo have to any of this in regards to this case, you fucking retard? It's not a blog where you just write random shit. Have you litigated or filed anything in your entire fucking life? Or do you just sit in some fucking office as some loser associate attorney in some fucking public defender office preparing bullshit all day? What do you even fucking do? Do you even work in law? I don't even know what you do for work, esports dipshit. Why hasn't he given that info to Pixie's counsel for her to depose Solo so she can get owned the way she supposedly did with the Rose of Vision? What? What are you talking? Why? What the fuck would the point be? It's not, you think this is just like fun to just sit here and waste all my fucking time and everything so they can go and run around and do all these random fuck depositions and everything else? Also, you know that if they depose somebody, I have to pay for my lawyers to go out there to depose them as well, right? I'm not going to give them a Solo deposition. Pun intended. Which one is Saba sexual? Is this Tiny Docs person? They post, you can tell it's them because they post, or it's this one. They post his face all the time. But this is the one that created multiple accounts that was harassing Rose and her family. Until they responded to Joan, because they thought that she was going to own me. Wait, never mind. Hold on. I can't post more esports Batman. He's a fucking retard. Okay. Read the last comment. Because Destiny sits in an echo chamber against anyone who doesn't agree with him, obviously. Based. True. Yes, I'm implying she lied under oath. She has a really strong incentive to. These people are sociopaths. Jesus. Either she's lying under oath or he's lying about having phone conversations. You'd have to be 5 years old to believe the voice tricks thing. Who? I've never claimed voice tricks thing. If I didn't talk to her, then I just recollected incorrectly that we'd have had a phone conversation. We texted a ton. But I like how I can never be wrong about anything. By the way, almost every single point of Pixie's initial complaint and of her Substack has been proven false. A fucking lie. She couldn't even get her fucking ages right. Nothing that I've said so far on this has been proven to be a lie at all. Despite the fact that Discovery would supposedly own me and all this stuff would come out that would be so horrible for me in Discovery, that was, remember, that was the meme initially. And now she's the one who's deleted and hidden everything because she knows she's going to be fucking roasted if any of the stupid shit that she's done comes to light. But, okay. What happened to Wicked? I feel like he's been hating her guts since Kiko at some point. I don't know. There, at some point, he was being like a massive fucking creepy weirdo to Pixie, and Pixie was asking me for advice on like how to chat with him back and forth. And the way that he spoke was just like insanely fucking weird. I think I posted the messages in chat before, but it was basically Pixie got into some disagreement with him, and he was basically saying something along the lines of like, I think they were going to date, but he is some fucking poly guy. And he's like, oh, I want to fuck everybody. And she's like, oh, well, I can't handle that. And so she was like, I think that we shouldn't talk because I still have feelings for you. But he would just message her constantly. Like, oh, hey, good luck today. Hey, blah, blah. And every time he messaged her, she'd be like, hey, thanks. But like, please don't message me. And he'd be like, oh, well, good luck anyway. And then he would start like arguing with her. And I remember he said one message that tripped me off where I told Pixie, I was like, I would be very careful about people who say shit like this. And it was something along the lines of like, she was like, she was arguing. She was like, I don't think when you message me or whatever, it doesn't make me feel good. Or like, I don't think we should talk until I'm completely over you or whatever. And he was like, I think the only reason you're saying this is because you just don't want to be like your mom, because you're worried that you're going to be abusive like your mom was to you or something. Anytime, heads up, I guess, if you're a guy or a girl, if you're in a dispute with somebody, especially like a new partner or potential partner, and they start psychoanalyzing you and comparing you to your parents in order to fight against some boundary you're putting up, that is like one of the biggest fucking red flags ever. But my guess is after, I don't know if Pixie, how much she even communicated to Wicked that I told her about him or whatever, so I don't even fucking know. Maybe that's it. Who knows? Who the fuck knows?